Hello and welcome to the second edition of The Enwire, a podcast that seeks to engage, entertain and enlighten all things computing. My name's Mike Thomas. In this podcast, Elaine Giles will be presenting browsers and the alternatives to Internet Explorer. Elaine has been using Opera since 2001 and describes herself as an Opera evangelist. So, over to you, Elaine.
Thank you for that, Mike. Well, I thought I'd start by explaining a little about the origins of the Life Beyond Internet Explorer presentation, just to place it in context. In June of 2005, I undertook to give a demonstration of Firefox and Opera for our local trainers group. My style's to demonstrate the useful features of the application and let the facts speak for themselves. However, before the evening, I was talking with one of the other trainers and was actually shocked at his attitude, which was, "Well, I know Internet Explorer's got some problems, but I wouldn't change anyway as it does the job." So I took a step back and decided to cover what the problems are with Internet Explorer and why the alternatives are at least worth checking out. So updated for 2006, here is part one of Life Beyond Internet Explorer. Well, Internet Explorer 6 is 5 years old now and full of security holes, as I'm sure you're aware unless you've been living under a rock for the last 5 years. There's constant reports of new, what Microsoft quaintly call vulnerabilities, which are gaping security holes to you and I. It is actually possible to infect your machine by just visiting a website. Yes, just visiting it, not installing anything, not even clicking a link. The most famous or infamous example of that is the spelling variation of Google. Don't try it, it really does. Users are finally taking these problems seriously enough to affect Internet Explorer's share of the browser market. Even Microsoft have at last accepted that they need to do something about it. The plan's a bit hazy, but they're thinking of doing something, so things must be bad. IE7 is now in Beta 3, and that is available for public download, and we'll be looking at it in a future podcast. Losing market share and credibility seems to be the catalyst that shakes the inertia most with Microsoft. However, luckily for the users, it's not hopeless, as you've now got your knights in shining armour in the form of an array of alternative browsers, which are actually viable alternatives. The two we'll be having a look at in next week's podcast of Firefox and Opera. So what today's episode is about is having a look at why it's a good idea to have a look at the alternatives. Even if you don't actually want to change from Internet Explorer, it can't do any harm to know what else is available out there. Now, a little more detail to consider. So why is it worth having a look at the alternatives? Well, the first answer, security's got to be the main issue. But how did it get to be so bad? Well, every computer running Windows has Internet Explorer installed, and hackers know that it's there, so it's a direct route into your system. InternetExplorerRepair.com say that 93.7% of computers over 30 days old are infected with spyware and adware. In 2002, which was the year after Internet Explorer 6 was released, 71 security vulnerabilities were found in Internet Explorer. The original design brief was to have it as open as possible, which was extremely optimistic given the world in which we live, so why did they do that? Well, they wanted Internet Explorer to be extensible, so other third-party developers could build add-ons, make plugins, which would extend its feature set. The tight integration with Windows only exacerbates the security problems. In my pre-Opera days, I had to completely rebuild machines where IE was damaged, because repair of something so integrated with Windows was just not possible. Microsoft's move away from the distribution of a single installation package means that you select the components you want and they're downloaded as required. A full installation of Internet Explorer can be a download of anywhere between 80 to 120 meg just for a browser. Then there's all the updates and patches that need to be applied on top of the installation, which also need to be downloaded. And again, the integration with Windows means that some of the patches break other things, a situation unfortunately becoming much more commonplace. Then once you've finally got it installed, configured and patched, you've then got to keep it updated. And all of that needs to be done for every individual machine that Internet Explorer is installed on. Constant patches make management a nightmare. Patch Tuesday is every alternate Tuesday. Numbers of critical patches released each Patch Tuesday has varied between 3 and 12. So a worst case scenario, based on those figures, is 264 critical vulnerabilities per year. And that's only the ones that they actually fix. Some known holes have gone unfixed for over 8 months. Reinstallation of Internet Explorer is a nightmare, because of course all the patches need reapplying. and don't get me started on management of multiple installations across a network. Although having created the problem, Microsoft do sell, although it's very expensive, Microsoft Management Server to manage these things now. So back to our question, why is it worth having a look at the alternatives? Well, the second answer is, there has always been other browsers available out there, AOL, Netscape. But the alternatives are now viable alternatives. People are actually using them en masse. Firefox has had 200 million downloads. That's just over 3% of the world's population. Not the online share of the world's population, but the entire world population. So obviously Firefox is getting increasingly popular. But why? Well, it's free. It was developed under an open source license agreement. So it's free for end users to use. It's easy to use. If you can use Internet Explorer, you'll have no problems with Firefox. And it has features that Internet Explorer 6 doesn't have, which we'll be looking at in a future episode. Another one of the browsers that we'll be having a look at in the future is Opera, which is also free. It's multiple platform. It supports Windows, Linux, the Mac, Palms, even mobile phones. It's also been licensed by Adobe, who now own Macromedia, for use in their applications. So it's the Opera browser engine which is powering Creative Suite 2's help system. Opera is a single application to be familiar with, knowledge of which you can then leverage across multiple devices and platforms. Opera's also got a fantastic user community for support, so you're never alone. So are we looking at the demise of Internet Explorer? Well, a quote from Microsoft in June 2003 said, "Internet Explorer for Macintosh and Windows will cease to exist as free standalone products." Well, it's already lost over 25% of the whole browser market in the last 4 years. Conservative figures from the W3 schools show that back in March 2002, Internet Explorer had a market share of 87%, but that this had dropped to 62% by May 2006. The majority of the users making up this loss had turned to Firefox, whose market share now stands at 25% from nowhere in 2002. Microsoft ignored Internet Explorer for 5 years, believing that the browser war of the mid-90s was over, with them clearly the victors over Netscape. Their efforts have been directed at the new version of Windows, known as Vista, which still isn't ready. Of course, it's the users who will ultimately decide its fate. So again, revisiting the original question, why is it worth having a look at the alternatives? Our third answer. Hopefully you'll actually have more idea after the future episodes, which will focus on the alternatives. But some of the things to consider are as follows. Firstly, security. It is the big issue for the alternative browsers. They know where Microsoft have gone wrong, and they know that running a tight ship will attract users. No browser is without at least the odd fault, but both Opera and Firefox are extremely quick to fix any issues, within 8 hours usually, but certainly within 24. The user gets to control many, many more options than in Internet Explorer. Even to the granular level of controlling JavaScript on a site-by-site basis in Opera, for example. But it isn't all about security. The most obvious feature supported by both Firefox and Opera is tab browsing. It allows multiple web pages to be open at the same time, but within a single application window, so it works a bit like Word does. Both also have download managers, and also great bookmark management. But I can't not mention the wonderful mouse gestures, which are supported by both Firefox and Opera. As anyone who has seen me work will testify, I repeatedly try to use mouse gestures in all my other applications. Another good feature of the alternative browsers we will be looking at in the coming weeks are that they're all installed via a single free downloadable executable file. No patches. Isn't that wonderful? No patches. Any changes are rolled into the installation package and a point release made available to install over the current installation. But the best thing, you can uninstall them and start again. Yes, completely uninstall them. So if you try them and you want to remove them, it is possible, unlike Internet Explorer. So, next question, can these alternative browsers really make your life easier? Well, I certainly think so. Internet Explorer 6 really isn't safe to use as it stands, so your best plan is to at least try the other options that are available to you. It's probably the perfect time to do so as well, as new versions of both Firefox and Opera are both available for download. And I don't think I've mentioned so far that both Firefox and Opera are considerably faster when it comes to browsing than Internet Explorer 6. Opera's the fastest in tests. And with that, I'll leave you with just a few quotes on the slides and just say that if you have any questions or comments, feel free to contact me via our website at www.nwire.org.uk or directly at thenwire@nwire.org.uk. Or you can use the contact form on the website, leave a comment on the blog, or even leave a Skype voicemail. You can Skype us on NWIT, that's N-W-I-I-T-T. And I will be back here again next time when we'll be looking at the alternative browsers and seeing how they measure up. So for today, it's goodbye from me.
Thanks, Elaine, for that extremely riveting and informative presentation. If you happen to be in Sale, South Manchester, on the 31st of July, then why not join us for the NWIT meeting? The subject is Designing Advanced Reports Using Microsoft Access. For more details, please see the NWIT website, www.nwiit.org.uk. That address will, of course, be in the show notes, which you can find at nwire.org.uk. Thanks for tuning in to the NWIRE. Until next time, cheerio.